everybody to AEW Dynamite Download, your home for all positive coverage of All Elite Wrestling. You got SPD, Crayfish, and a special guest, not an ass boy, a son of a gun, one of the best in the business right now, Austin Gunn. Thank you so much for joining us, brother. Thank you for making time for us, man. How you doing?
Dude, I will always make time for Dynamite Download, you guys. Positive energy. You have a great shirt on, SPD. I mean, unbelievable. This is awesome. I'm ready to go. I was just telling everybody that wasn't tuning in live, I was doing so much fun, like my funny bits before we went live, and you guys weren't even recording.
Sorry.
We were treated to your sense of humor before the show started. It was good stuff.
Well, just like Jacksonville, you guys know I have unlimited energy, so I'm good to go. I could do this for hours.
How funny is it that you said that? Because that's how SPD, that's exactly what we wanted to start off with, was your energy, man. It's unbelievable.
I know. You caught our attention from early on during the pandemic. I mean, you were the heart and soul of the crowd, the best hype man in the biz. And then your energy was just contagious. We felt it at home. You did a fantastic job. And everyone felt it, I'm sure, there in Jacksonville. Plus, then you add these Instagram takeovers, which are absolutely gold. Please bring them back every single week. We are begging for those.
So
they're fantastic. Like, how do you keep that energy up? Have you and your brother been always this energetic growing up? Like, where does it come from?
Honestly, well, thank you for those kind words. And because that was the goal. That was the goal. Is like everybody in the fans, we were trying to give everybody during the pandemic that energy feeling still. And it was so hard. But who comes to the rescue? Me, of course. And it actually started in Atlanta when we had the first pandemic show in Atlanta. We set up shop AEW in Atlanta. And I was injured at the time because during my debut in Jacksonville, actually, I got injured when I did a frog splash. I tore my PCL. And I was like, oh my gosh, what a start to my career, like in AEW. I was like, this is awful. But I have a job, so how can I be useful? So I was like, you know what? I'm loud. I know what it's like to be in a crowd and it's crickets, because my first few matches, no one was cheering for me. They were cheering for my dad coming out behind me. I was like, cheer for me. And they were like, boo, you suck. So I know what it was like being out there in crickets during the whole show. So I was like, you know what? Let me give my energy to the people at least. And it just caught on. It was like, there was three people there and it was just me, dad, and like two other people at first. And then when we moved to Jacksonville, we had these guys on this side and these guys on this side. And I was like, you know what? I was like, this is a perfect opportunity of being injured. How that red light is on me every opening of the show. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is a way to like kind of reverse do it. Because like in the ring, you show your personality like over time. I was like, let me reverse it. Let me show my personality. So when I finally get in the ring, maybe I won't hear crickets. Little did I know I still heard crickets because I suck. Just kidding. But yeah, I was like, I'm loud. So I'll stand up on my chair, and every week it was fun to do it with dad. Cause I was like finding new ideas to stand out and dress up in funny stuff and wear wigs and just like be a goof. And that's what this business is. It was like, just have fun. And everybody would be over there just like sitting there sometimes. Like, I was like, guys, this is a great opportunity to be a goof and lighten up, like have fun with this. And sure enough, I was just, well, no one can be louder than me. So I was like, they were great. Fuego was there at the time, unsigned. He was right next to me. And we were just over time, just had a great time doing it. And the energy aspect, I've always had it. Colton's always been the calmer one, as you guys can tell. he's starting to surprise me a little more and more each week. He's starting to like dance a little bit, get out there and be a good
one.
It's like, it's awesome. I mean, our dad is Billy Gunn. I mean, we're not going to be.
He's Mr. Ass.
Yeah.
This shirt got me
easy with that word, but in this instance, he is Mr. Ass. Yes,
that shirt got me detention multiple times growing up, man.
Middle school in big trouble, no doubt.
We were at a show in February about this time last year, and we could hear you loud and clear when we were at Daly's place, and it was contagious for sure. So thank you for that.
You're very welcome. Yeah. Daily Space also echoes. Remember that? It's like a theater.
Amphitheater.
Yeah, so I was like, this is the first lot, like during like when we were starting to bring like 2,500 people back and then 5,000, I was like, I'm going to make sure they hear me up there. It does not matter. I'm going to make sure they know, like during the matches, like I am going so hard and what I've been doing for the past 6 months to a year.
Yeah, man, it's so cool to hear you talk about like just spinning a negative into a positive. And it seems like that's really kind of your mentality in life, man. I can just tell you kind of have that. You're not going to let anything keep you down. And what we loved about that is that you were really making a big change in your career when we saw you at All Out. You know, you had this pivotal change from you just turned on the big show. And it would have been easy for you to just be the standoffish heel. But there, you were interacting with the fans, goofing around with people. You were kind of an epicenter, just like you were during the pandemic shows. People wanted to be around you. Your energy was contagious. Doing the dunk tanks, messing with people in the autograph lines. I mean, you're just that kind of guy. I have to ask you, knowing how much fun you like to have, we always debate back and forth on this show, man. Babyface and heel. What is more fun for you and your brother and the whole fam? Like, do you got to settle the score here? Is it babyface or heel? Which one do you enjoy doing more?
You're going to hate this, and because I'm not going to pick a side, because like my personality in general is just me. I can't be anybody other than me.
Love it.
And it's just like, it's just how it resonates with the people. It's like when I was a good guy in the beginning, people didn't care about me. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I was trying to make a debut, and I was like, cheer for me because of who the reason behind this is the fans thought I was a good guy, and they needed to cheer me because of who my dad was. And over time, I was like, dude, I was like, I'm trying to be entertaining. I'm trying to be my goofy self. I'm trying to be me. And it was just like, boo, boo. And over time in AEW, we weren't getting our respect. Mm-hmm. We had a crazy mm-hmm. record. We were undefeated at the time. I was like,
we want to talk about that.
I was like, I'm over this. That's why we turned on the big show. It's like to make a statement. Oh, he's our best friend. We don't care anymore. We don't care. We're going to be ourselves and we're going to shove it down your throat. So that's what we've been doing the past few months, is just shoving it down people's throat. If you don't like it, it doesn't matter. I'm going to put a smile on my face and still be my goofy self. And if you don't like it, doesn't matter. Look at our record.
Amen. No, you're absolutely right,
that's
man.
That's really
We've been loving this side of you guys as a whole. And like we keep echoing, like you look like you're having like the time of your life, as you should, because it's such a great company and great opportunity. I mean, you just main evented Rampage with gold on the line. Yep. You got awesome responses in the Battle Royal. The fans are eating you up, good, the bad, the ugly. But that's what's making you grow more and more and more. And so much has to do with, you know, the elephant in the room is, as you, your name says, not an ass boy. No.
Yeah. Did you recognize how I put that on there?
Yeah.
I love that.
Of course.
They
love
gave
that.
Me freedom to pick my own name.
I know.
That's unbelievable. And I'm like, what a perfect name.
The social media game right now is so hilarious. All the memes that are the movie posters, the video game posters. I mean, this has got to be like, how does it feel to be a meme? And I, you know, where did the ass boys come about? I know
tell us
you
the
want
story.
To talk
I know
about
it's
it.
Uncomfortable. Yeah,
but
tell us the
it's
story.
The elephant in the room.
I'm doing this, but I have headphones in, so I'm not. It's counterproductive.
You're just pushing it in further.
Yeah, I'm literally. Yeah. All right, listen. As much as you guys enjoy it, we don't enjoy it. Okay. As much as we are being disrespected, we turned on Big Show, and now we think we're on a roll. We're undefeated. I was like, people are gonna respect us, and who comes along on the Jericho Cruise? Someone I've never heard before, Danhausen. Okay?
Who's that schmuck?
Exactly. Who is he? Who's he ever beat? Okay?
Yeah.
Now I'm talking like Matt from 2.0, okay?
Yeah! So, give him a taste!
Give him a taste! So that's what we did. On the cruise, Danhausen wanted to have a comedy show, right? And who does he pick? The most charismatic people in the biz. Me and Colton. So we get up on stage and he goes, I'll say this once, he goes, where's Billy Ass? And I go, that's not my dad's name. If you're referring to Mr. Ass, he's asleep. He's on a cruise, okay? He doesn't stay up and party. Billy he's Ass. Locked into his workouts, right? So I'm like, Billy Ass, don't call my dad that. And then he goes, and the Ass Boys. And everybody in the amphitheater thought it was so funny and started chanting Ass Boys. And sure enough, I went like this, and they started chanting it louder. And over time, I get back on – land in the States, and I'm like, you know what? That was over. I'm great, right? No, I go out for my
I
next
followed
match.
You.
Right when I go out of the tunnel for my next match, I think I'm gonna get a cheer. I'm gonna get a boo. No, guess what? The whole arena is doing, chanting Ass Boys, And I look at Colt and I go, what the hell is going on? I was like, this is not how our legacy is going to be remembered. And over time, it got louder and louder. And I don't know what to do. It's like a tumbleweed and it's out of control. It's like a snowball going down.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know what to do about it. As much as I complain online and try to tell them to stop making movie posters, stop doing this, stop referring to us as Aspos. I even put my name as not Aspos.
You did. Making it clear.
I'm trying to do whatever it is to not leave our legacy as ass boys. It's disrespectful. I hate Danhausen. You can record that. You can put it online. I don't care. But I need the fans to know this ends. This is going to end. I'm starting a petition. Me and Colton have some ideas in the works about how to stop this from happening and snowballing out of effect. And I'm kind of getting worked up, as you can see.
I see it. So much of it is because it's just disrespect, Austin. It's just disrespect. And honestly, that's been the story of your journey here. Been disrespected. You and your brother have some of the best winning percentages, not just in AEW.
In the world of all time.
In pro wrestling history. Your brother has a better win-loss record than Goldberg.
Than anybody in the world of all time.
Tell him!
See my Instagram story today?
Yes, sir. That's why we're bringing it up.
My brother is number one of all time.
Tell him.
Who's at number 11? Your boy.
Right? That's right, son. That's right. And so the whole story of being disrespected, it has credibility to it. That's one of the things I love about you guys, man, is honest to God, you guys are not only hilarious, but you guys back it up. And it's really hard to be funny in pro wrestling, but it's even harder to be a funny heel who can also back it up in the ring. And you guys can, and you have. Your work, your record speaks for itself. I got to ask you, though, padding those stats over the years, who is two questions here. Who's the biggest challenge that you've had that you've enjoyed being in the ring with? And who's still on the bucket list? Because, I mean, you guys have racked up a ton of W's. Who do you got to get the W over in order to prove to yourself, all right, and enough's enough. I'm the real deal, baby. You know what I mean?
That's a loaded question, okay? Because the thing about the disrespect is, like, we finally got our title shot. And that was with people on the roster. I mean, when we're doing our shows on Elevation and we're doing our shows on Dark, we're facing people from all over the world. Great talent from all over the world. But our vision has always been within the company. We want to fight the best of the best in our company. Mm. So we want Santana Ortiz. We want FTRs. We want all those. Mm. But we finally got the best of the best right now, and that was Jungle Express. And that match meant so much to me and Colton because it wasn't just about proving to the fans or – to the people backstage that we could go with the best of them. It was about proving to ourselves.
Yeah.
Because we always knew we had it in us. Our win percentage, you can say, oh, well, he's facing Joe Schmo from down the street. It doesn't matter. Those guys are like good competition on Elevation and Dart. We only bring in the best. So when we finally faced the best in our company at the time, right now, on Rampage main event, we had to show up. We had to do it. So the most enjoyable experience me and Colton have had so far was going toe-to-toe with the champs.
It was
coming
awesome
out looking
match.
Like $1 million.
Yes,
like,
sir.
We just wanted to prove to everybody backstage, to everybody around the world, to everybody viewing that always downplays the gun club that, like, yo, I don't care what you say. I don't care who you call us, but, like, what you call us, ass boys, gun club, sons of a gun, it doesn't matter what you call us. We're going to go toe-to-toe with the champs and give them a run for their money.
And you belong.
That's what we did.
Yep.
When it comes to the future of who I want to face, you got to name the top three. You always want to face a CM Punk. I mean, it's just electric. Ooh. In the ring, right? When you're feeling the energy in the arena when he comes out, it's just it's unbelievable. You want to face the Bryan Danielsons. You'll only learn from those experiences.
Right.
So the one that I've always wanted to, before Colton got into it, I thought I had to take my career into a singles, was Kenny Omega. I mean, I didn't grow up watching wrestling. I wasn't allowed to. It was too Triple X at the time, Attitude Era. I wasn't allowed to watch it. So I'm not really keen to the history of wrestling and who's come up and stuff like that.
Sure.
But the first person that when I really started to get into this business, I was like, who's the number one right now? And that's Kenny Omega. Yeah. I mean, you can't deny it. He's unbelievable in the ring. I love the way he moves, his footwork, everything about him. Mm. And when I came to AEW, I was like, I have a chance to make this a reality. So I think one day me and him will go toe-to-toe. I don't know if it's a tag team, but I think me and Colton, I can speak for him as well. I think the ones we want to take on as a tag team is FTR. I mean, my dad coached them in
NXT.
wherever they were.
The other company, yeah.
Yeah, but like FTR is, whew, you can't sleep on that team. They're unbelievable, and I want to go toe-to-toe with them and go to war for sure.
Loaded question, but wow, what an answer, man. You just – that's incredible, man. Seriously, wow. I'm getting goosebumps, man. I mean, incredible, dude.
Fired up.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. All right, well, we got a campaign. We got to see the Gun Club against the FTR, and I want to see Austin going against Kenny Omega one day. That would be a dream come true. That would be sweet.
Yeah, that just goes to show. I mean, we talk about it on our show week in, week out, just the stacked roster of AEW, and it's just so fun to be part of Team AEW on your sense. And we love talking AEW. I mean, we've been going for a year and a half now nonstop of just all things AEW, and it's been such a joy. And every week it's so different, and that's what we love about it. For you, what's it like, the environment in AEW, and what makes you proud to be on Team AEW?
Yeah.
Where do I start?
I mean, we're the long list.
Well, the thing about it was they gave me an opportunity, and it started with Cody Rhodes, and I called him on the phone, and I was leaving ROH, and I can't thank them enough for bringing me in. Bubba had a great deal to do about that, and I learned in their developmental system, and then it just we parted ways, and I was coming back, and I was like, you know what? I was like, my dad might be about to retire, aka he's never going to retire.
He's still a beast.
And I was like, you know what? I'm not taking advantage of the opportunity of like sharing a ring with him. I was like, I've always thought about it. Why not take this leap? Why not? So I called Cody and I was like, you know what? I don't want this to be a favor. I want to sit down with you one-on-one. And I was like, I want to show you how serious I am. Just give me an opportunity to show everybody at that company what I can do. And I wasn't signed before my debut, nothing. He was like, you know what? I'll give you an opportunity. I'll do it on January 1st, and we'll do it at the anniversary show in Jacksonville. I was like, I'll be ready. So I went out there, and I just gave it my best. I went out there and just did my thing. And I was like, you know what? Whatever the universe has for me, it doesn't matter. Live in this moment. And sure enough, I walked back through the curtain, and Nick and Matt were there, and Cody were there, and Tony was there, and they were like, we're going to sign you to a deal. And I was like, wow. I was like, I didn't expect it. I really didn't expect it. I just expected like coming back a few more times and doing that. And right on the spot was just a really shock. It was a shock to me. But little did I know I had a torn PCL. But you see how I've just like, I just roll with the punches. It's like, what are you going to do? You just got to find your situation, make the best of it, and just your time will come. Be patient. And that's what Dad has always taught me. Is just be patient. Your time will come, and just have fun while you're doing it. And that's what I'm doing. It's just I'm having fun with my dad in the ring. And then little did I know, my brother was in California studying film, doing tapes, going to Rikishi's school without us knowing. And I was like, you're going to school? What are you doing? He's like, I think I want to try this. He came. We had a dark match, and we've just took our ball and ran with it. And it's cool to see how he's developing and how I'm also developing and kind of filling my dad's role as the leader of the group, but I'm the younger brother. So it's like, yes, I've been in the business longer, but it's cool. It's a weird dynamic, but it fits. Mm-hmm. And there's no collision within the group. It's just, we all get along. And obviously you got to listen to dad at the end of the day. but I think eventually when he retires, we'll be ready to go. We'll be established, as they say. We'll be crisp. We'll be ready to go.
I love it, man. I mean, I had no idea the backstory coming into this. And it's kind of shocking me when you said earlier on that you weren't able to watch wrestling growing up.
No.
As a son of a multiple time Hall of Famer, that blows my mind. And
it's
you got to talk to me a little bit more about that. And did that only make you want to do this more? You know, like the typical teenager where you can't watch, you can't have it, so you want it more. How did that love for wanting to do this then happen? Like,
honestly, well, growing up not being able to watch it, it's just I went to the live show sometimes for the big pay-per-views, and I was just around. I was around The Rock and Stone Cold and Undertaker at the time. And it was just like, I knew I was living an abnormal life, like an abnormal childhood, but I didn't really resonate how big of a star my dad was. So like growing up, I was like, oh man, my dad's a professional wrestler. They're like, you're lying, prove it. Like in elementary school, and I was like, no, he really is. This is my dad. And I'd show up a picture and stuff. So like, it was crazy, man. Not being able to watch wrestling, I think, I don't know, maybe it has its pros and cons in certain situations, but the thing that attracted me about the business was being an entertainer. I've always been an entertainer. I've always wanted to make people laugh. I've always wanted the center stage. I've always known that I've been, I've always been multi-talented in certain areas. I can entertain. I can do music. I can put on a show. I can get on a mic. I can do literally anything, but I don't want to be, I never wanted to brag about it. I wanted to prove it. So when I got in college, I wanted to major in business and all that stuff. And I don't have that type of brain where it's like business oriented. I wanted to be on a stage. I wanted to dance. I wanted to do all this stuff. So I settled on elementary education. I'm good with kids, entertaining kids and teaching kids. And I taught second grade at my elementary school that I went to.
Wow.
And that was my parents' rule. My mom and dad said, you have to get a degree in order to pursue wrestling. If you really want to do it and try it, you have to have a fallback. So I majored in elementary education, taught for a year, second grade. I was the best teacher on planet Earth, right? But then the day after I graduated, I was in the ring. And my dad beat me up for all the years that I've kept him up late, crying, everything, right? From all the childhood that I've given him a headache. He beat me up for 3 hours, and I go, I'll see you tomorrow. I love this.
Wow. That's
awesome.
Because I came from a football background, a lacrosse background, and just like all this physical sports. And now he was my coach. So he went from my dad to kind of my coach, and now he's just my best friend. And now it's just awesome, it was a crazy come up story. But I really had to put in the work. He's never given me anything for free. He's never given me a free ticket, nothing. I didn't want him in that meeting with Cody Rhodes. I didn't want him in the meeting. I wanted to have it one-on-one with the man at the time. And just like, I don't know. It's just, I've always had to work for everything. So that's why that falls into being disrespected. They don't know how hard me and Colton work behind the scenes. And that's kind of the thing that we've always just had to prove as second generation. You have to do it. It's always, it comes with the territory.
Chip on your shoulder.
It always comes back to like just being an entertainer. And then when I got out there in front of a live crowd, I was just hooked. It's literally like a drug, just being out there and the adrenaline and just going to battle with somebody and entertaining people and just getting feedback from fans over time. It's just like, this is crazy what we do.
No, I completely, I mean, we've listened to other podcasts of retired wrestlers, and like, it's that you can't replace that void in your life. And you're just beginning that void, and it's a fun journey for us to watch. Yeah. So I can only imagine that awesome response from the crowd. And we know wrestling keeps you plenty busy. And you mentioned music. What other things are you passionate about that really keeps you busy week in and week out?
Honestly, our schedule is so busy now that I don't really have time for music, but I'll catch myself on the airplane. I did it today. It's just like, I've always been musically inclined, and I actually fell in love with that before I even thought about wrestling. So I've played the violin growing up, playing piano, and just like, I've always just like instruments and putting together lyrics, and now I'm making songs, and like, it's just progressed over the years. And then I released my EP, and I was like, dude, this is kind of cool. I love this. But like our schedule, I'm only home like 2 days a week. I nap obviously before this interview. I was knocked out. Right. But I always find myself writing lyrics, and I know there's going to become a time where I can really sit down and come out with my own project. But when I'm not wrestling and I actually have some free time, I'll go to the studio with my friends. It's therapy to me. It's always been that sense of therapy for me. So when I go to the studio, I can just let out all my emotions, whether I'm sad at the time, mad at the time, worked up, whatever it is. Music has always been kind of like, I get it out and then I'm cool for like a week or two. And then I'm writing when I'm on the road and kind of just putting out ideas. And then over time, I'll sit down and really start to chip away at the armor and kind of come out with my own project. But that's I need to focus on wrestling first, and wrestling always comes first. And it's just, I'm in a whirlwind of like, this is crazy. Like, I'm a professional wrestler for the best wrestling company in the world. I'm wrestling with my family. I'm wrestling. I'm doing music on the side. I'm involved in a lot of things at a youngish age. And I'm just enjoying the moment. It's so really obvious. What it's all about.
It's so obvious. That's authentic. Like, you really are enjoying
the reality show. I forgot.
Yeah. I was going to say that. Somehow you squeezed in the
time.
That
was our segue.
To have a hilarious reality show. You know, my wife, I have a hard time getting my wife to get into wrestling, but I have no problem getting her to watch your show. You are hilarious on the show. And honestly, one of my favorite moments is when, like, you guys are doing the hog, the hog trap. Like, you're trying to get hogs to move from one area to the other.
The pigs.
Yeah, the pigs. I love that. Because everyone else is like getting all freaked out and disgusted. And there's Austin just casually just smiling, carrying him out. He's just happy as a clam. You look like a natural, dude. So I love that reality show. For fans out there who love you from AEW, who maybe haven't dabbled on your side project in E, which I think you have a future in reality television, just how fascinating your story is. Tell us some of the coolest moments, because there's plenty of bro fights and love that you've been involved in. Give us a taste. Give us a taste of that show.
Let me give you a taste. Shout out 2.0, by the way. I love
so
them.
Good.
So love do we. Them. We're huge fans of them.
The Gun Club and 2.0 is like a dream come true for us here.
I know.
Man. It's amazing.
You guys are just
here.
Love you
guys.
Pure
I know. So good.
When it comes to reality show, I got this message and I was like, dude, this can't be real, right? I'm going to a ranch to help these people. I was like, this is awesome. I can take a break from wrestling. You're telling me I could take a little break? I was like, cool. So I sent it to my manager and he was like, no, this is real. You got to do an audition. So I did an audition for about an hour and I was like, dude, please let me help this ranch. I was like, get me on this ranch. I'll be perfect for you guys. And sure enough, fast forward 2 weeks, I was on a ranch.
Wow.
I was on this show, but I was on this ranch just enjoying this experience with my roommates at the time. And I was like, dude, their parents are worldwide known. I was like, my dad's Billy Gunn. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer in wrestling, but if you don't watch wrestling, like, it's kind of hard to know who my dad is. But like, you do this to him and they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, everyone knows that.
Right?
Yeah.
So the whole experience was just new. It was new. It was a way for me to get away from wrestling, get away from music, and do something I've never done before. I've always been in front of cameras. I didn't mind that, but I was there strictly for the ranch. And I was like, this is a cool opportunity. My dad was a bull rider in college for Sam Houston State in Texas. I know I'm hitting you with crazy.
You are blowing my mind in this interview, brother.
Sam Houston State in college in Texas. He grew up around the ranch. He rode bulls. He tested bulls and sent them to the rodeos and stuff like that. So I was like, you know what? This is kind of like a homage. Like, I can go to this ranch and show everybody around the world that, like, I have – oh, man. My headphones. Can you guys still hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. We can hear you.
All right. So I was like, dude, let me go on this ranch. But then came getting along with your roommates, right? So obviously you'll see in the episodes drama that have already aired, in the episodes – there's only one more episode, but you'll see like how I kind of adapt from being like the odd man out to wanting to do every job to kind of living with them and kind of knowing about their background, where they come from, and then them learning about me. And it's just like, yes, we collide at times and fight at times, but at the end, it was a beautiful ride. It was awesome. Yeah. Just working with pigs and like saddling horses and riding horses. I used to barrel race when I was 8 at like a little horse camp. So I was like, dude, get me on these horses. And then you're herding cattle across this ranch. And like, I was at home. It was such a peaceful experience for me besides all the fights and drama that you see in the show. But like when we weren't fighting, I was so at peace. I was like, this is a great experience. This ranch is beautiful. I love the ranchers. And, I made friends in the process, like lifelong friends, second generation as well. So it's like, it was just That's awesome. Really cool experience.
That's
full
really
circle
cool.
For sure, man. That's a lot of fun. So as we are winding things down, I mean, we could talk.
Headphones died. We got to wrap it
headphones
up.
Headphones are dying.
I like to end the interview with a fast five question. So question, or I'll ask you a question, whatever answer comes off the top of your head for that. So if you're ready, I'm ready. First question, dream arena to wrestle in?
Madison Square Garden.
Favorite musician?
The Weeknd.
Ooh. All right. I mean, we thought your HBK gear was absolutely fire. It was so sick. Who has the coolest gear in wrestling other than you?
I do.
Other than you.
Other than you. It could be history, too.
That's coolest gear ever, Austin. Coolest gear ever.
I don't know. I didn't watch wrestling. You guys know this.
That's
like,
true.
Think of like just like
you got that HBK inspired gear.
Yeah, it's you.
To piggyback on that,
you're really untouchable.
Yeah, that was any fun inspirations coming up on that? Not the question.
Yes.
All right, okay. I like it. Well,
if you could mic battle anyone at AEW or wrestling, who would you want to battle with on the mic?
MJF.
Oh, all right.
I want that.
Or Max Caster.
Yeah.
You guys,
a mic battle, incredible. A rap battle between you two?
Yeah, whatever it is. But rap battle, Max Caster, mic battle, MJF.
Perfect.
Oh, those are top of the top right there. All right, and if you had two words for us, what would they be?
Can I pick three words?
Sure.
Not ass boy.
You're laying that one up for you.
Oh, my God, are you good, man. You are – get at it, Austin. Get down with your bad self. But, man, it was so fun talking to you, dude. And honestly, we learned a lot. You are genuinely a hilarious guy, but it's so obvious that you're a deep dude. You have a really cool story, and we appreciate you letting us in. But that said, people got to get involved in your social media game, dude. People got to be following Austin Gunn. You were one of the most fun.
Why do I not have like a million followers already? Come on.
Let's change that. Tell us your handles on social. Where can people get involved?
Handles. I only have Instagram and Twitter these days. Those are my main two social media platforms. It's at the Austin Gunn. That's THEAUSTINGUNN. That's the Austin Gunn.
And do you have any upcoming indie appearances? I know you guys have posted stuff on your stories.
I'm going to Virginia tomorrow.
Oh, dang.
Wow. I think. Yeah, I have a lot of things coming up, but if you follow me on Instagram and Twitter, I will make sure to put those out there so you can come see me.
Love it. Thanks so much for your time, Austin.
Thank you guys so much. Sorry it took so long to get this interview, but we're here. We did it. We did it, guys.
Ever since All Out, we've been dreaming about this day, man. We've been dreaming about it. You're the man. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Remember to not call me an ass boy. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I'm sorry Colton wasn't here, but he's at the gym while I was snoozing. You know, it's a little give and take. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Tell him
we'll
say,
well,
hey,
if you get that petition going, we'll sign it, man. Not to call
him. I will. Trust me. I have some things up here that I'm going to make sure that.
You will never see Dynamite Download putting out those awful, awful movie posters. That's not cool.
I know. You would never do that.
You know us better than that. Thanks so much, Austin. Have a good night.
All right, guys.
Take care.
You so much. Bye.
See you, man. Yeah.